Thank you. All righty. Well, amen. Glad to see all of you tonight. And wow, did you bring your coat with you? You might need your coat on the way home from church tonight. This weather's kind of crazy. They're calling for 50 degrees. Amen. I'm not complaining. All right. Well, God bless you. It's been a great meeting. I've been just so refreshed getting to fellowship with the missionaries. And, of course, spending time with Brother Vaughn. And we're just so thankful that there's a church on the east side, amen, that has a heart for souls. And didn't it bless your heart? It did bless mine to see all those teenagers, young people coming in on Wednesday night for that program. Boy, that I just haven't seen that in a long time. Man, that was just so nice to see. God bless you for having a heart for the young people and for taking the effort to do those kind of things. Such an important thing. Amen. And thank you to Brother Nick and to Miss Victoria and Leland. Man, what a name, Leland. Amen. And sure enjoyed the meal tonight. Just very refreshing. Just wonderful fellowship. Well, listen, I've got a lot of verses to read tonight, so I'm going to let you remain seated. I want you to take your Bibles and look with me to the book of Genesis. We're going to look at the 25th chapter of the book of Genesis. If you just happen to be here for the first time tonight, I'm in this cast boot because I was involved in a vehicle accident about 2 months ago. I just got back from a short-term mission trip from Southeast Asia and then got back on Sunday or Friday. I'm still dealing with this concussion, okay? Got back on Saturday morning and got home and then preached at a church over in Torch, Ohio all day Sunday. And then got rested up and went to the office for a little bit. And I'd had this billboard that I had made for me and I wanted to put it up and forgot to bring my ladder. So I was headed home to pick up a ladder to hang up this 4x8 billboard sign, and I got T-boned on the passenger side, and man, it was quite an accident, but the Lord was looking after us, amen, and that's what this boot is about. So I'm really looking forward to getting rid of this boot Wednesday of next week. Now, I tell you, I have a hard time believing that, you know, for these days here, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, keeping this boot on is really going to make that much difference. So pray for me, amen. I'm drinking milk, taking vitamin D, man. I mean, I'm just getting it down here, trying to get that bone healed up. But that's what the plan is. And we're just so grateful to the good Lord. And we've heard from so many friends and folks that have been such a blessing to us. So anyway, that's what all this hobbling is here. I'm doing up here. Amen. And I think I'm going to throw this boot over in what's the nearest lake here between me and y'all is Upper Dog Run. Amen. Anybody ever fished Upper Dog Run? Amen. Don't drag because you might drag this boot out of the water. Amen. All right, Genesis chapter 25. I want to begin reading to you with verse number 19. Genesis chapter 25 and verse number 19. I'm going to read to the end of the chapter, and a very, very important truth that I want you to see with me tonight. The Bible says, "And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, and sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, 'If it be so, why am I thus?' And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, 'Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was threescore years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. He was from West Virginia. But Rebekah loved Jacob. She was from New York. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. And Jacob, look at it, verse 29. And Jacob saw pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And if you're in the habit of marking in your Bible, you might want to underline the word there, the birthright, first time it's mentioned in Scripture. And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day," and he sware unto him and sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. An intriguing passage of Scripture here that we want to look at tonight. And let's pray and ask the Lord for his help. Amen. Father, we come tonight and we ask now, dear God, that you'll give us help from heaven. There's a wonderful lesson that we all need to learn tonight from these two boys, these two young men. And Lord, I pray that you'd make it evident to us, real to us. And Lord, I pray that you would help us all to learn the lesson, to see what Jacob saw. Help us, we pray. Save the lost, reclaim the backslider, revive the Christian, strengthen our faith. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this word, the birthright, is what I would... It's really the focus of our message tonight, the birthright. The word birthright is mentioned 10 times in the Bible. Only 10 times in all the Bible. 9 times in the Old Testament. And it's only mentioned once in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews. And the book of Genesis, chapter 25, verse 31, it says this. It's the first time the word is mentioned. And Jacob said, "Sell to me this day thy birthright." So the focus of this event that is taking place here in Genesis chapter number 25, it all revolves around this one word here, birthright. Now right here in Genesis chapter number 25, it is in its most simplistic form. Now, it later on developed into something, and we'll look at a couple of those things here in just a little bit. But right here, it's in its infancy. I mean, this is the first mention here. And there's incredible depth, really, to understanding that at this stage here. Now, to set the stage, I want us to kind of rehearse the story here. Verse 27, the Bible says, "And the boys grew." So these boys are growing, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob, he was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And Rebekah remembered the prophecy that she knew that the younger son would be the one who would carry the proper ancestry. Remember what the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto her, Two nations are in thy womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other people. The elder shall serve the younger." Now, typically, that's not the way it was supposed to happen, But it was prophesied to happen that way. And in verse number 29, the boys are grown. Now let's see what happens. And Jacob sought pottage. Esau came from the field. He was faint. And the Bible says, and Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. And therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. So there they are. Sell me the birthright. And Esau said, I'm at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me? Now Jacob is going to push it a little bit harder, firmer. And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And what he is saying, I want you to make a solemn declaration with an appeal to God for what is about to happen at this very moment right here. Swear to me this day before God and before me about what we're doing right here. Swear to me this day. And the Bible says, referring to Esau, and he swear unto him and sold his birthright unto Jacob. His birthright. And then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage and lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way, and Esau thus despised his birthright Now I want you to think with me for what is taking place in this story, because it is so crucial that you get the series of events and exactly what is happening in the lives of these two young men. Now we know that Esau's been in the woods for maybe a day or so, and he didn't kill anything, didn't bring back a harvest, and he walks into the dwelling area where they all lived in incredible lip-smacking, mouth-watering smell of homemade food greets him before he enters even into the tent. And he looks over on the primitive stove, and there's a pot of simmering pottage, and it's maybe bubbling slightly, and it smells so delicious. And he stands there, his brother Jacob also standing there probably with his mama's apron on. You can imagine that Esau, his stomach is growling, and he feels so hungry. Have you ever said, you know, I'm so hungry I could eat a horse? I don't know if I've ever been that hungry before, but I've said it, amen. And but he feels like it, and he looks at the food that his brother is cooking, and he hears about the offer that his brother has made him, and he thinks about the offer, the birthright, or this pottage. And he thinks about it. Remember, I mean, he is hungry. And he thinks to himself, what good is this birthright if I'm dead? Now, we haven't really shared with you yet the implications of that. But it might be one of the saddest stories in the Bible. Yes, when you look at the implication of his attitude on what he did. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? What good is it if I die? I am at the point to death. And so his stomach no doubt growls a little bit louder and harder this time. And man, he feels that sharp hunger pain, and everything looks and smells so delicious, and it looks so good, and it smells so good, and I'm in a lot of ways, I'm a lot like Esau. I can remember taste. I can be at a revival meeting and maybe not go back for 5 years. And then the pastor says, we're going over that family. And I can think, I remember how that food tasted. Woo, let's go. Yes. Amen. I mean, I remember the taste of foods. Amen. And evidently Esau, he thinks about it. And man, it tastes, smells so good, and he knows it's going to taste so good, so delicious. And so he thinks about the offer that his brother has made, the birthright, for a bowl of pottage. Now remember, this is the first time the word has been mentioned in Scripture. Now here in its simplest form, the birthright wasn't anything that you could hold in your hand. What is being discussed with Esau and Jacob, it was not a document. It was not a piece of paper. It wasn't a contract. It was not any kind of a document. It did not require any kind of a signature, any kind of a seal, nothing like that. But actually, it was priceless. Now, later on, the birthright developed into something more elaborate. When the firstborn received the birthright, he assumed leadership over his brothers, according to Genesis chapter 27. And he succeeded authority and care for his mother and his sisters in the case of his father's death. And he had a special claim to his father's benediction, and he became the domestic priesthood. It belonged to him, and he received a double portion of the inheritance. But what is at stake here in chapter number 25 in the first mention is something not related to that. I mean, it's not anything you can hold. It's not anything that requires a signature. It is not a document, but it's something that is so precious. As a matter of fact, it goes back to Genesis chapter 12 when God gave a distinct call to Abraham. And this is what he said. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And the Bible says in verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now God was giving Abraham a distinct command and a blessing at that point. And listen, God said, all of the families of the earth shall be blessed, going back to Abraham. Now we're in year 2026. Everything that is taking place around our world with anti-Semitism in Israel and Zionism and Iran and Persia and Israel and America, it's all in focus. And it has to do with land. And it is absolutely amazing that we are like reliving these things here. Because God gave Abraham a promise. In chapter number in verse 7 of Genesis chapter 12, it says this, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. So, you know, really what is at stake right now is land, and Israel doesn't even have a right to give away the land because God is the one that gave it to them. Amen. And I promise you, if there is a way that the devil could use any rogue nation to destroy Israel, then everything we believe the Bible to teach us is falsehood. So it is absolutely in pain. It has to be God is going to protect his people. Am I saying they're perfect? Listen, the Jews are as wicked as dirt. They're as wicked as me and you are, but God doesn't give them the promises because they're perfect. Go back and read Ezekiel chapter 36, and God says, I'm not doing it for you because you have profaned my name. I'm doing it for my sake. God is protecting Israel for his sake. Now don't ever forget that. Now let's move on into this birthright here. Now we're going to go to some passages that deal in the New Testament now. If you're able, take your Bibles and look with me to Acts chapter 3 verse 25. And here's what it says. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquity. Amen. So God has a plan for Abraham. Now remember, we're going back to Genesis chapter 25. All of this is at stake. God has given Abraham a promise. I'm going to bless them that bless you, and he says, and all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. Now let me ask you a question. Look at me now. Was God exaggerating when he said all the families of the earth are going to be blessed? Is that just colloquialism that God was throwing out, or does he literally mean that? You see, all of this is at stake.
here in this particular passage here. I'm looking at Galatians chapter 3 verse 8, and it says this: "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed." You know that little song that we sing in junior church? Father Abraham had many sons. Amen. How many of you know that song? You think we ought to sing it? Wake everybody up? Come on, let's do it. I'm kidding. It'll raise the BTUs up too much here in the auditorium. Amen. But I'm telling you, that little song that the kids sing, Father Abraham had many sons, has got more depth to it than a lot of what you'll hear on this contemporaryism that goes on today.
Amen.
Going back to Father Abraham, he says in chapter 3, verse 14, it teaches us that we can be grafted into that seed line, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through faith, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now here's what I'm getting at. This birthright that was at the very center focus of this conversation that we see taking place between Jacob and Esau, the birthright was simply an understanding. It was knowledge. It was a discernment. What was at stake in Genesis chapter number 25 was a grasp of a promise.
Yes.
That Jehovah God had promised Abraham, and only one of his sons would have the privilege of being a part of it. Because you see, in the family of Abraham, the firstborn would be the very source whence the Messiah as the Redeemer of the world was to spring forth. And you see, the people of the world needed help. So through Father Abraham, God would bless the people of the world, amen, with number one, the scriptures. Romans chapter 3 verse 2, much every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. We have a Bible because of the Jewish people. Unto them were committed the oracles of God. God said, I'm going to give you the scriptures through these people. But guess what? It had to start with somebody. And that was the promise. Abraham is going to start with you. And then you have Abraham. And then you have and his sons, Isaac, and then Jacob and Esau. And only one of those are going to be the son that is going to pass down that promise, that's going to pass down that seed line. And he says in this passage here, he says, Romans 3, 2, we have scriptures because of the Jewish people. In Romans chapter 9, verse 4, it says this: Who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises? So you see, all of that comes to us through the Jewish people. The scriptures, the promises of God, the oracles of God. And then Romans chapter 9 verse 5, it says this: Whose are the fathers? And of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came? Who is over all? God bless forever. Amen. So you see, through Father Abraham, God would bring forth the Redeemer of the world through Father Abraham. I got born again when I was a 15-year-old teenage boy. Amen. At the Open Door Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas at 10:30 on a Saturday night. Amen. And listen, when I called upon the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I stepped in that line now by faith. Amen.
Amen.
You see, and the promise that God gave Abraham was a promise that this seed line is going, the very Redeemer of the world is going to spring forth from this. And Esau could never see it. Jacob could see something that Esau could never see. He had discernment. I'm not saying he was perfect. There was a lot of trickery and a lot of manipulation. But he did want to get a hold of a promise that God had given to his grandfather Abraham. Amen. And brother, he saw something that his brother never ever did see. Jacob could see something that his brother couldn't see. And he said, I want to be a part of this. Through Abraham, the Messiah shall spring forth from all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. Because the Lord Jesus is going to take on human posterity from Abraham. Amen. He's going to taste death for every man. His gospel is going to be preached throughout the entire world. Innumerable blessings possible to all mankind through his death and burial and resurrection and intercession. And Jacob could see, I want to be a part of what God's doing in this world. Jacob said, I want a spiritual heritage. That's what Esau sold out. He sold out a spiritual heritage. It could have been Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. But no, it's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yes.
Amen. God later on changed his name to Israel, and he bore 12 sons, and then we have the 12 tribes of Israel. And from that line would come the Redeemer of the world. And Esau said, what profit shall this birthright do to me? He missed it.
That's right.
He missed it. I'm telling you, God is doing things in this world.
Yes, sir.
And too many people, too many believers are missing it.
Yes, sir.
They got their head in the sand. They got their head in the world. They got their head full of Hollywood.
Amen.
They're living their lives with a bunch of nonsense. I'm telling you that God is doing something in this world.
Glory to God.
And I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of what God is doing in this world. Amen. You see, It constituted a link in the line of descendants by which the Messiah was to be born into the world. It meant wielding power with God and men. It meant the right of catching up and hanging on to God. It meant the right of heirship to the promises of the covenant that was made to Abraham. It meant the right of standing among the spiritual aristocracy of mankind. It meant being a pilgrim of eternity. Amen. And Jacob was able to see in some way, I want to be a part of what God is doing in this world. Now, you know what a missions conference is? A missions conference is just a tiny little glimpse for you to see what God is doing in the world.
Yes.
And then hopefully you are spiritually minded enough to say, I want to get in on it.
Yeah.
I want to do what I can do. I want to get in on the praying. I want to get in on the giving.
Yes.
I want to get in on the going.
Yeah.
I want to be a part of what God's doing in this world. Amen. What God is doing in this world. Let me just give you a couple of scriptures as we're going to think about this and we're going to be done tonight. What is God doing in this world? Well, listen to what Matthew chapter 16 verse 18 says God is doing. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. You know what God is doing in this world? He's building his church.
Yes.
Now I don't want this to hurt you too bad, but me and you coming up with a crowd is not necessarily God building his church. But he has to have people, amen, to do it. But God's doing it. He says, I will build my church. He is the church builder.
That's right.
Amen. He is the church planner. And he's using men to do that. He's doing it. I will build my church. And then he follows up with this. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let me tell you what God's doing in this world. Luke chapter 1 verse 33. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. God is building a kingdom.
Many years now, I've used the Lord's Prayer as my model prayer to guide me in the morning. I like to use it. I like to use the Lord's Prayer as a guide. The front and back door is worship. You open up prayer with worship, and then you shut the door with worship. I love to do it. I never get tired of it. I love addressing my Heavenly Father, and I just think about all that that word means, Father. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And I love to just meditate and just praise God for his names, all the names that he is, because it's him. And everything that it means, and it blesses my soul so much. And then at the end of it, it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And I like to just think about the kingdom of God, because, boy, we're living in man's kingdom right now. This is the devil's kingdom.
That's right.
You don't know who to trust when people talk, do you? When the politicians talk, it doesn't even matter whether it's Republican or Democrat. You don't know who's telling you the truth.
That's right.
They say the opposite things, both of them. Their heads are bobbing, their mouths are moving, and they're saying words, but you don't know who in the world's telling you the truth. And there's so much corruption.
Yes.
I mean, can you imagine all the corruption, all the billions and billions and billions of dollars that have been stolen from us as taxpayers? Billions. And it just absolutely drives me insane. If I get a speeding ticket and I don't pay the speeding ticket, they're going to come after me. But these jerks, man, they embezzle billions of dollars and they never go to jail. I shouldn't have said jerk from a pulpit like that. Sorry, amen. That's a little bit crass. Please forgive me, amen. You know, when I look at this, the kingdoms of this world, they are sick. But God is building a kingdom of righteousness. We are going to be moving in the kingdom of our dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to rule and reign. I want to be a part of what God's doing in this world. What is God doing? Well, according to Matthew chapter 8, verse 11, the Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. God is saving sinners. He is saving sinners. Amen. I got to talk to one today. Well, I didn't do much talking. All he wanted me to do was hear him talking. Amen. But I mean, he was doing a lot of talk, but I'm not going to give up on him. Amen. I believe he's as lost as can be. But the fact is, God is saving sinners. I think about my dear friend, Brother Freeman, recovering from that awful stroke that he had. And I'll never forget when he told me a story about when you're a small town pastor in a small town, you're called to do many things. And one day, he had to pick up some members and take them to some doctor's appointments. Now, pastors in a big church or a big city church probably wouldn't think about having to do that, but in a country church, that's what he had to do, pick up some members, and they had all kinds of doctor's appointments, and the day had already been spent, and they were on their way home. And back in those days, Brother Freeman, his program played at 9 in the morning, which it still does, and then 9 at night. I would rebroadcast it. And I remember hearing the broadcast. And I remember Brother Freeman, most of the time his broadcasts were, you know, for like teaching the scriptures, discipling the saved, you know, for believers, edification. But I remember hearing that program that morning, and it was a very, very clear plan of salvation. And Brother Freeman was headed back to Salem in his van, and he was listening to WVGV 89.7. And he just happened to be on his broadcast. The people are listening on his broadcast. Now, he told me later, he says, I was oblivious. My mind was on everything else but what was coming across the radio. But he said, but I remember thinking about it. And he gave that plan of salvation. And then finally, he got to this place where he was going to drop these people off. And somehow, the conversation about salvation came up. Brother Freeman said, by the way, have you ever been saved? And they said, yeah, I'm saved. When did you get saved? They said, I just got saved.
He said, what do you mean you just got saved? He said, well, you was telling us how to be saved on the radio when you was driving us home. And I listened to you. And I did what the Bible says.
Yes.
And I just got saved.
Amen.
I'll tell you what God's doing. God's saving people.
That's right.
And I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of what God's doing in this world. Let me show you something else. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse 9, it says this, For we are laborers together with God. God's laboring, and He brings us alongside. Amen? That just touches my heart so much to think that God would just bring me along. We are laborers together with God. I remember when I was young and my boys were little boys, sometimes I'd give them a task. I'd give them a hammer and a nail or some boards, some nails that needed to be driven down. And man, they'd take forever pecking on them nails, you know, finally. And good, and I could have done it with one swack or something like that. But it meant more. It meant something to them to be a part of the labor. And God says, I'm doing something in this world. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring you along. Come on. Let's labor together with me. I want to be a part of what God's doing in this world. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1 verse 9, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, listen, I want to be a part of what God's doing in this world. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Amen. I want to be a part of what God is doing in this world. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. So many times we fail to recognize the importance of spiritual things. And that's what it was with Esau. He didn't understand the spiritual part of it. What profit shall this birthright do to me? How could you miss it, Esau? How could you miss it? He didn't see the spiritual implications of it. And there are so many people in our churches, they never get plugged in. They never see it. They never feel it. They're just like Esau. What are you trying to do? What is all that about? Because they just cannot see the true, eternal implications of what we get ourselves involved in. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of what God is doing in this world. And I'm telling you, God is doing things all over the world. And He's using these precious missionary families. He is using Grace Baptist Church. He uses your tithes and your offerings. But we just have to see it and say, I'll be a part of it. Do you want to be a part of it? I want to be a part of it. Because God's doing some great things. Now, we're not seeing them. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith.
Amen.
We know we're going to see these rewards in the future. And it's going to be glorious. Maybe there's a young man. Maybe God's been speaking to your heart about ministry, about preaching. I want to be a part of what God's doing in this world. Maybe you've been sitting on the sideline as a member of a church, and it's time for you to get in the workforce. Be a part of what God's doing in this world. Maybe you've been on the sideline just kind of tipping the Lord, but not really giving. We just had our annual fundraiser for the radio station, funding the different five stations that we broadcast in, 16 counties in West Virginia, one county in Ohio. And with the number of people that participate, and I've did a lot of research on this, but with the number of people that participate, it's usually about 1% of your listening audience gives. 1%.
1% of the people that listen give. So if that would be the case, we probably have, it's a pretty reasonable, you know, something to come up with. We probably have anywhere from 1,300 to 2,000 people listening a day. Now, it's kind of amazing that such a small number jump on board. And it's such an incredible thing. I know pastors that, I don't know what the statistics are, but most of the time it's like 20% of the people that come do 80% of the giving. And then probably the workforce goes down from that. So it's kind of like, do we really understand what God's doing in this world? Well, if you want to be a part of it, you can do it. You just have to be spiritually minded. And that was what was taking place in Genesis chapter 25 with Jacob and Esau. When Jacob sold him that birthright, and Esau said, and what profit? What profit? There are men that say that today.
Yes, sir.
And what profit shall this birthright do to me? And they give up a spiritual heritage for filthy lucre, for cash. What God is doing, let's grab a hold of it and let's be a part of it. Amen?
Amen.
Because listen, these days on this earth, there are very few.
That's right.
Compared to eternity. Let's live for the world to come. I hope I've been able to articulate that clear enough to you. Let's pray together, shall we? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Anybody here say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not even a Christian. If something tragic were to happen to me and my life was taken out, I don't even know for sure that I would go to heaven. I need to be saved and I want to be saved. And I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. I believe that He died for my sins and rose from the grave. Pray for me, preacher. I need to be saved. Anybody like that tonight, would you lift your hand up real high? Anybody like that? All right. Now, while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want us all to stand together, prepare for prayer time, shall we? Everybody stand together. Let's prepare for prayer time. I understand my message tonight. It was conceptual. It was a concept that we were delivering. Didn't necessarily list any points. It was just revolving around just getting that concept that God's doing things in this world, and He gives us an opportunity to be a part of it. Why don't you just ask the Lord, Lord, show me what You're doing. Show me what I'm supposed to be doing. Lord, I don't want to be so fleshly. I don't want to be so earthly minded that I just miss the working of God in our world. Ask Him. He'll show you. If you pray, He'll show you. He'll show you. I want to be a part of what God's doing in this world. I wonder, while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, how many folks would say, preacher, pray for me. The Lord has spoken to my heart. I need to take heed to this. The Lord has spoken to my heart. Could I see your hand? Would you lift it up real high? Bless you. Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you so much. I'm going to ask the Lord's a blessing on this prayer time. God's spoken to your heart. Find a place. Pray to the Lord God. Ask Him to help you see really the importance of spiritual things, and that you just wouldn't miss them and certainly wouldn't neglect them. Father, we ask now that You'll bless in this invitation time. Your will be done is our prayer. Lord, I pray You'd help us to see this, such an important concept, such an important truth. A lot of people come to church all their life and never see it. But Lord God, help us to see it. And help us to be, to desire, to decide to be a part of what you're doing in this world. Bless this time of prayer, this invitation time, for we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. As the music plays for us, won't you come tonight? Let's pray for the missionaries. Let's pray for
Esau is one of the most interesting characters to me in the Word of God, especially when you get in the book of Hebrews, what the Word of God has to say about him. He was Jacob's son, and he missed out on everything. Brother Reza, I've preached similar to that on that particular subject, and to think that we have a birthright in Jesus Christ and we miss out on it. We who are children of God miss out the things that God wants to do in our lives. That's a scary thought. That's a scary thought. Well, listen, I want you to be back tomorrow, our last day. It's really been a good conference, and looking forward to what God will do tomorrow. So 9:30, Brother Ryan Thompson will present his ministry to Barbados. Then at 10:30, Brother Reza will preach for us again. Then afterwards, we'll have a light cover dish dinner, I just mentioned to you, just soups and salads. We'll do something that won't tax you too much tonight. I know you don't want to go home and John's, labor over that stove tonight.
Did
you? Okay. Well, there you go. But anyway, we want you to be back here, so try to get some good sleep tonight. And you notice that sound is now gone, so hopefully we won't hear that tomorrow, so that buzz. But again, great night, great night, great message. Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and we'll bow for prayer. And again, to all of our visitors, we appreciate you being here tonight. Father, I thank you so much for what you've been doing each day. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of the birthright that we have in Jesus Christ to enjoy the inheritance that he's given to us, to enjoy being part of the work, especially of getting the gospel out right here in Bridgeport, throughout this Harrison County, Lord, to the utmost parts of the earth. Lord, thank you that you give us that privilege. Lord, help us be aware and not despise the birthright you've given to us. Lord, again, I just thank you for the preaching. It's been right on point this week. Thank you for speaking to me. And I ask, Lord, you do it one more time tomorrow. Lord, just help us to honor you. We ask now that you would give us safety headed on home, and then, Lord, just bring us back safely tomorrow. We look forward to what you'll do then. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.